What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to chat with Will and Logan of the band Robot Monster over Zoom video. Both Logan and Will grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, and they talk about how they got into music. Both come from musical households. Will is a handful of years older than Logan, and he actually met Logan through Logan's older brother. Will and Logan's older brother, Henry, played in some bands together when they were in high school. Will started playing guitar around 12. His dad actually was his first guitar teacher. He ended up joining the jazz band when he went to high school. Actually, he did like a hybrid high school where he went to normal academic high school, and then around 1 o'clock, he'd go to this arts high school where he was just kind of immersed in jazz guitar. He ended up going to college for jazz guitar, and it wasn't until a few years later that Logan and Will started jamming together. Logan has always gravitated towards drums. He also attended the same art high school and then ended up going to the new school for jazz drums as well. The band really started just as the two of them. They weren't a band yet. They would just jam and shoot these little videos for Instagram reels, different riffs that they would film, I think, on Logan's back patio. And they started doing really well right away, like hundreds of thousands of views. People like Skrillex and Fred Durst are reaching out and commenting on their videos, which eventually drew the attention of Jahkir King, who is a Grammy Award-winning producer. He's worked with Kings of Leon and Kaleo, Tom Waits, Modest Mouse, City of Color, just a bunch of amazing artists. He reaches out to Logan and Will and asks them what they had going on, asks them to send him some songs. They weren't really a band, so they wrote a couple songs, sent them over to Jahkir, and he wanted to work with them. And that's how they put together their first album. They talk about writing 20 songs. They were asked to write 20 songs within like 2 months. And they only had the one and a half or two that they sent over to Jahkir. So they really had to buckle down and start writing a lot. They talk about recording and releasing that first album, the first show they ever played, which was opening up for Stone Temple Pilots, how that relationship formed. They talk about their recent tour with the Bronx and the Ship Rock Festival that they will be performing on towards the end of January. You can watch our interview with Will and Logan on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Robot Monster. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you both?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
My name's Adam, and this is about you two and your journey in music, and we'll talk about the new song as well.
Great.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you, Adam.
Nice to meet you as well. Cool. So are you both from, are you in New Haven, Connecticut? Is that what I read?
Yep.
Both born and raised there or no?
I was born in Chicago, but I pretty much grew up here with Will.
Okay. Will, you were born and raised in New Haven then?
Yep.
Okay. What was it like? What year did you, or how old are you when you moved,
Logan? I was like 2, so I was born and raised here.
Okay. And did you guys grow up together, like high school and all that?
Sort of. It's funny. Logan's a little younger than me. He's about 5.5 years younger than me. I was friends with Logan's older brother in high school, and we had a band together. And so I started playing with Logan a little later in life. But
right on. Okay. Yeah. So, Will, how did you get into music? Like, do you come from a musical household at all?
Yeah, definitely. It was never anybody's like career path or passion. It was more of a hobby within my family, but a very artistic family. Like my father is a visual artist.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, my mom always sang and played folk guitar, and my grandfather was always into African drumming and rhythm. So music was a big part of my life, but I'm really the first one to sort of make it a passion and a career.
Oh, awesome. So what was the first instrument you learned? Did you learn guitar or anything from your mom?
Yeah, I'm from my dad. My dad played guitar. He was my first teacher for about maybe 6 months to a year. And then I started taking formal lessons.
Okay. How old are you? And was that the first instrument you learned?
Yeah, I took piano lessons for a while, but I don't think I had the maturity to, you know, take it when I was like really little, but I don't think I had the maturity to take it so seriously. But then when I was around 12, that's when I started playing guitar and really got curious and interested in music.
Okay. So, what do you remember? Was there like, did you see something or do you remember what drew you to guitar?
Seeing my dad play. I was like, okay. I want to be able to do that, you know, and he sort of turned me on to a lot of classic rock and, you know, that's sort of where I started. Then I started getting into jazz in high school. That's what I went to school for.
Oh, really? So you played in the jazz band?
Yeah. Jazz, you know, combos, big bands, quartets, you know? Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's rad. I'm just curious real quick on your folks. So your mom is a singer and she plays folk guitar. And your dad plays guitar. Did they like meet playing like musically, or was it that just something they both ended up having skill sets at?
Yeah, they both sort of just did it on the side. My mom's always liked, you know, Neil Young and, Bob Dylan. My dad's always been into rock.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's rad. Okay. What about you, Logan? How did you get into music?
Similar to Will, it always was sort of around me. Like, I was very fortunate to grow up in a environment in New Haven that had lots of arts and culture. And I think my mom was an actress, a theater actress in Chicago. She did lots of plays and stuff. And my dad also did comedy when he was in Chicago. So I kind of had like...
Oh, that's rad.
Parents, which is cool. They say I grew up in a comedy house. Like, that was the most valued thing in my house. Who was the funniest? So that was pretty an interesting way to grow up. And my brother, when he was like my older brother that initially was playing with Will, got really into guitar when he was like 11 or 12. And so he got really into playing lots of gigs around the area. And so I would always go to his gigs, and he created this sort of network of musicians, including Will, that almost like this little scene, this little local scene of teenagers that would play music together. And I kind of was immersed in that, and I'd go to all the shows, and my brother was such a music fanatic that he got me into a lot of classic rock and jam bands too. He was always really into Fish and the Grateful Dead, which I listened to a lot of, which really like sort of as a young kid, I expanded my musical vocabulary and stuff. And so like I was lucky to like have, and lots of people around me had lots of instruments and stuff. And so I was just fortunate to be immersed in that kind of environment.
Sure. Did your dad do like stand up? Like, that's awesome that he's a comedian.
Yeah. So my dad is in academia now. He's a dean of a university, actually.
But
he never did it professionally per se, but he in Chicago, like, there's this thing called Second City, I believe.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's like a huge thing. A lot of famous people come out of Second City.
Yeah, and my
like Growlings just like that's Chicago's version of that, I guess.
Yeah, and like my parents were kind of in that like 90s like scene with like, they were close with not super close, but they're kind of in the same bubble as like Chris Farley and some of those really legendary comedians. And Tina Fey, they're kind of, and like they kind of knew them before they really like broke into the scene and did like SNL and stuff, but that's where they sort of came from, which was cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, I know a lot of, SNL adopted a lot of people out of there, and Growlings, and then there's one in New York too that I'm blanking on. I don't know, but yeah, there's those pockets of comedy and improv acting that people got really, you know, a lot of really, really famous people came out of that.
Yeah, it's a cool scene.
That's awesome. And your brother, does he still play?
Yeah, he still plays. It's funny. My brother chose not to pursue music. He's actually in finance. He works for some bank. We're very different people, but he's a music lover, and he plays guitar. Like, he's very much into jam music and a lot of classic rock.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever play with him then? I mean, it's interesting that Will and you would end up playing together, but the three of you didn't, or did the three of you play? I don't know.
We would play together sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. There's a gig I had with Logan's older brother, and Logan, I was in high school at the time. Logan was like a little kid, and Logan, our drummer, was nice enough to let Logan sit in.
That's my nickname.
Yeah, sit in on one of the tunes. So that was really fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Was drums the first instrument for you, Logan?
Yeah. First serious instrument. I actually took some piano lessons when I was a little kid, but not seriously. It's always been drums. It's what I gravitated towards. And like, it just, I was always banging on stuff. So like, it was so clear to me that was my passion.
That's awesome. I know growing up not really pursuing music more than just like having fun with it, but the drummer is always the hardest person to find. I wonder if your brother must have been so stoked that his younger brother was a guitar or drummer, because then it's like he could always have somebody to jam with, right? I mean, you usually have the pick of the litter if you're the drummer, as far as bands go.
Yeah.
Except my brother didn't always necessarily want to include me at the time because I was like 11 and he was a teenager, but okay. Yeah. Seem like it's hard to find a good drummer a lot. Sure. Yeah,
that's awesome. All right, well, so you studied jazz guitar, or did you go to college for that as well?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Okay, so you joined the high school jazz band? Like, how did that start?
Yeah, it's so in high school, actually, I went kind of to two high schools, and Logan did this too for 1 year as well. I went to, like my standard public high school in New Haven. And then I went to Educational Center for the Arts. So it's like an art school that I would go to for from 1 to 4, Monday through Thursday. So that was a great experience. So that was, all 4 years of high school, to get fully immersed in music theory classes and, jazz ensembles. It was really intimidating my freshman year because I had only been playing guitar for about, 2 years because I began playing at 12, and to get, thrown into like a jazz ensemble when, and I barely knew any music theory. I didn't know how to read music, barely, and so it was intimidating, but I got it together and it was a great experience because, you're just sort of like, it's like, trying to learn how to swim, you get thrown into the deep end.
Right.
And it was a great experience. And so, I felt prepared going into college. I already had a lot of knowledge of jazz.
Did you have to apply to get into that school, or is it something that you could?
There was an audition and there was you just write a sort of a paper,
Wow. So obviously you're good. They wouldn't have let you in if you were just trash. You just showed up and didn't know what the hell you were doing.
It was very pretentious.
Okay. And Logan, you went there as well?
Well, I did I was at the new school for a year.
In New York?
Yeah, in 2021.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Doing jazz too, and contemporary music, but I'm not there anymore just to focus on the band.
Sure.
But we're both like, it's funny, like a lot of rock musicians, like they come from like a scene, maybe they come from like a punk scene and like some scene of musicians, but like Will and I really like come from the jazz scene. We just happen to be playing rock. We're such jazz heads, like, to the extreme. Like, we did it in high school, we did like a lot of like the jazz like academic stuff, but now we're playing rock, which I just think is kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, but jazz is so difficult. I mean, to be able to, you guys are probably, your skill set is so much further than a lot of kids that are just trying to come up, starting a rock band. You know what I mean? Like, that's just that style in general is so hard. And so, like, you improvise so much in jazz.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, improvisation is obviously a huge element of jazz, and virtuosity and musical vocabulary that you have to have, and knowledge of the music that must be possessed in order to just hang. It's, you know, and, you know, you're never done. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be able to play jazz. It's another thing to be a master of jazz. And I am far from a master, you know, from being
master.
Jazz master. You know what I mean? So sure. I'd say, you know, dang, I actually played a solo jazz gig yesterday in downtown New Haven. It was fun. First jazz gig in a while.
Where was it?
That French restaurant downtown.
Oh,
remember,
yeah.
I saw your brother there, remember?
That's cool. I gotta come out here.
Yeah, that's a fun gig. I love that gig. But it was my first gig jazz gig in a while, and it was so much fun to, you know, it's fun to play jazz, you know, when you haven't done it in a while. It's just like, oh yeah.
And not just jazz too, like thinking that jazz, it's not just like jazz, I feel like, that like informed a lot of our musical vocabulary. It's also like funk and blues too, like a lot of more older genres with involving a little more technicality we really grew up playing, and I think that really sort of influenced a lot of the music we made on this album, because we're just into lots of different genres. Like, we're playing rock, but like, we're not just rock musicians. We like all kinds of stuff, and just want to experiment with the kind of music we're making, not try to fit into any sort of musical niche or whatnot.
Sure. Well, did you end up going to the new school as well, Will?
No, I went to a state school in Connecticut, Western Connecticut State University. That's sort of the state schools in the area. That's the one that's sort of pushing the arts the most.
Oh, cool.
I really lucked out because my freshman year at that school, they just got it was the first year they finished their arts building, and it's like a $97 million arts building that they just founded. It was my freshman year there. I got all 4 years, the first graduating class of that had all 4 years at that school. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to go there. And they have a lot of, the head of the department is a guy by the name of Jimmy Green, and he's an incredible musician. He's
our boy.
Yeah, he's part of the reason I wanted to go there. And as well as the guitar faculty there, incredible. I studied with a guitar player, in New York City, you know, cat by the name of Kenny Wessel, and he's a monster musician. So it's just, you know, great to study with him, and you know, it's close. That part of Connecticut, it's really close by to New York. So it's like Southern Connecticut. So it's pretty close to the city.
Oh, cool.
So New York cats are, you know, would come up to teach.
That's awesome. And what about so when did you guys start this band? Like, were you both in separate projects and then decided to start playing together? Like, how did that, you know, kind of come together?
So Will and I kind of would play together casually just for little gigs and stuff, more jazz or funk stuff, just like little bars and stuff. But we basically started making videos together on social media in later 2020. And we didn't have any big idea or anything. We just wanted to put ourselves out there on social media, and Will had some cool riffs. So I thought, okay, let's do this duo thing and make some videos where we're just playing instrumental stuff together. So that was when Instagram introduced its new Reels feature. I was like, oh, cool, I want to try this out. Let's post some of that stuff. So to our surprise, the videos immediately got like hundreds of thousands of views. Just Will and I playing on my back patio, just like a 30-second clip of us playing a riff and, you know, fooling around. And that we started to make more of those videos, and it really became a thing. It's like, wow, we're getting a lot of exposure and attention from this duo thing. And we initially had some really cool people reach out to us. Like Skrillex was one of the first big names that discovered us, like after weeks of posting this stuff. And it really became clear to us, wow, like, I think we have something together. Like, let's continue this. And then miraculously, the producer Jakir King got in touch with us in mid-October and said he wanted to record us as a duo. And that changed everything. So basically from there, we ended up signing with him as our manager, and he basically took us under his wing and really helped sculpt us into an actual band where Will and I both sang, with Will singing lead vocals, and we sort of defined the creative process. And over the course of 6 months, we went from just sort of posting clips of us to actually, with Jakir, turning it into an actual band. And we're at the very early phases of that still. We're brand new and have only played about 10 shows. So it's the very beginning.
Yeah. And the 10 shows you've played, at least, you know, they're massive shows. Did I read the first show you played was opening up for Stone Temple Pilots?
That's correct. Yeah. First show ever.
Okay, well, I'm curious, real quick, back to the video. So you're throwing up these videos just as, okay, there's reels, we're both talented, let's do these things together. And they start doing really well. Skrillex reaches out to you. And what does Skrillex say? Like, what is this? Like, is this a project? Or is he just like, you guys are killing it, this is awesome?
So, yeah, it was really cool. He commented on one of our videos, just said fire, and then he just started messaging us and said, you guys are super cool, just like stay in touch, I want to be in one of your videos, he said at one point.
It's just little things like that.
From
other people, like a lot of other rock bands,
like Fred Durst
commented on that's crazy.
It's really cool. But when Jakir reached out, you know, that's really the opportunity that changed things, because Tom Waits, Kings of Leon, all the band, you know, he worked Modest Mouse. And so then like Logan said, we sort of defined the vision together. And it was Jakir's idea to sort of keep it just guitar and drums. And so, you know, on our debut album, it's just guitar, drums, and vocals. That's the only thing the album features.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so...
No bass.
Yeah, no bass. And that was Jakir's idea. I remember he basically said to us, you know, I like what you're doing. I think it's really cool. If you guys can, you know, put together some songs, you know, let's, you know, he basically said, like, with what you're doing on Instagram, with the riffs, you know, the dynamics, if you can... The very first question he asked us was, do either of you guys sing? Because the videos we were doing, we didn't have any vocals on it. It was just, I was playing guitar, Logan was playing drums. And so I said, do either of you guys sing? I said, well, I sing. I like to sing. I don't really think of myself as a singer, but I've always, in the band I was in with Henry, Logan's brother, we all kind of sang. You know, I would sing on some songs. Logan's brother would sing on some songs. So I always sang, and I always liked to sing. But I said, I sing. So he said, okay, because he was probably thinking, well, let's, you know, if neither you guys sing, let's find a singer.
Hire a singer, yeah.
Yeah, but so I said, I can try it. And so Logan and I started writing songs together, and I took the role of singer and sent some demos of songs to Jakir, and he liked what he heard. So we went with that. And so we were asking him questions like, you know, should we put bass on these demos? What if we wanted to add a little keyboard line here? And he's like, it was his idea. Well, let's keep it just a raw duo. It's, you know, that was really his idea. So together, you know, with the songs we were writing and Jakir's vision for just keeping it a raw duo, as well as more conceptual, concept-y things with the lyrics and what the name, we sort of together defined the vision for what became Robot Monster.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, obviously you had experience writing if you were in the band prior with Logan's brother, Henry. And were you... Like when this guy reaches out to you, Jakir reaches out and he's like, well, let's, you know, do you have any songs? Like, were you guys nervous of what you were, going to turn into this guy or like, tell me about that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember we had sent him so he basically said we had a FaceTime with him and he says to us, you know, he asks us about vocals and if either of us sing. He just basically said he likes what we're doing. And he said, well, try to send me just sort of like a riff idea with a vocal melody or something and some lyrics. And so we sent him sort of a song and like half a song that we recorded, just like a demo. And so we sent that to him and he liked what he heard. And he basically says to us, okay, if you guys could get like 15 to 20 songs by Christmas. And at the time, I think it was like mid-October of 2020. Then he basically says, 15 to 20 songs. If you guys can get like 15 to 20 songs by Christmas. And I just got an adrenaline rush to my body. I was like, whoa, I know how difficult that is. You know, all the lyrics, the riff, the how it is, you know, the arrangement of the song.
Oh yeah.
We make good songs.
Yeah. Right? Not just random, you know, the actual songs. Like here's a Grammy winning producer. We can't just send him anything. He's asking for like 15 to 20 songs, not just any songs. And I know how hard it can be just to write songs in general.
Yeah.
Right.
So we really had to, and it was struggle at first. We sort of, you know, it was good because we sort of weren't afraid to fail. I think with our success in the beginning, the big thing is we left room to fail. Cause you know, we ended up writing, I'd say about 21 songs total. Literally
in like November to like
January. Yeah. From like November. Wow. And a lot of the songs, you know, we wrote probably 21 songs. Of those songs, we recorded 15, and of those 15, 8 made it to the album. And I think there's some of the really early ones, you know, we sort of didn't know what we were yet. Are we Rage Against the Machine? Are we Metallica? We don't really know what are our influences.
Or just how heavy
the guy. Yeah, how heavy are we? You know, and so we left room to fail and to experiment. And, you know, a lot of the really early songs didn't make it.
And we're still figuring out who we are. You know, we're not defined. We like a lot. Our music's very different, like in the spectrum of heaviness. So we're going to make all kinds of music.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And bands are all constantly evolving, at least the bands that succeed or have longevity. It's not like if you put out the same record 3 times in a row, people would be like, okay, I'm done with these guys. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing new and exciting here. It's just the same record over and over.
Yeah, very true.
Well, that's crazy. So you are pretty much put under the gun. Like, hey, you have very short time span to write a ton of songs, and then you send them to him, and then he digs what you're doing. And then do you just come to his studio and then start recording that quickly, like the beginning of 2021?
Yeah, we recorded in March of 2021. And I remember he had us together. We each put together a list of 10.
Okay.
So we had like 20, 21 songs together. We each put together a list of our top 10 songs. And from each, the 3 of our top 10 songs, we chose 15. So we were there from late March of 2021 to early April. And for about 2 weeks. Yeah. So for 2 weeks, we recorded the 15 songs.
Okay. And then at that point, is the band, like, are you solidified as Robert Monster? Cause it seems like before that, he just kind of got asked the two of you, are you, you know, can you do it? Can you write songs together? And then when he found that out, yeah, you can, he brings you in to manage you and put this record together. Is that in the same time period when you're developing the name? You said there's like everything's kind of done strategically with the name and the songs and everything. Tell me about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, in that same process, we sort of found the vision for the name and what the songs were going to be about and all that. The name sort of speaks to the fact that it's sort of a duo. So Robot Monster, it's the name of our band. It speaks to a couple different things, but mostly that we're a duo, and that it, like, a lot of the things we're doing on Instagram and a lot of musical elements in our music, I'll be playing a very robotic riff, very repetitive and robotic riff. That's the robot element, and Logan will be sort of going on that riff. He'll be more spontaneous, like a monster, and more
got it,
expressive, you know, because mine is very repetitive, very robotic, you know, and I also play an electronic instrument, electric guitar, you know, he plays an acoustic instrument. So Robot Monster, we thought that was a cool name and thought, you know,
it's like represents the duality.
Yeah.
It can mean a lot of different things. I feel like in a lot of different areas, there's the robot and the monster, the more robotic, formulaic aspect of things. And then the more chaotic kind of menacing.
Exactly. It's also sort of a duality of that exists in, you know, with the human experience in many ways, just, you know, sort of a dichotomy of just here's robot and here's monster.
Sure.
Sort of like, a yin and yang type thing.
Yeah, I like it. And then how do you get this first show? So you had obviously been playing together enough with the Instagram reels. And then it's, okay, we have some songs together. And now you're going to open up for Stone Temple Pilots. Like, how, what was that like? Like, how do you get the, how do you find out the news that you're opening up for them?
So that's a funny story, really. I'm not sure if you've seen online, we have some of our TikTok and Instagram videos. We have this special character, Grandpa.
I've seen him. Okay.
So that's our grandpa. And he, you know, we had a nice sort of an idea for him that we wanted to use him in a video. And then we sort of got together, sort of started filming some content with him, and he just started doing his own thing. Sort of how we sort of just wanted to spontaneously, you know, do some our own videos that we put up on Instagram. It's sort of similar how, you know, his role in all this. We had an idea for him. And he just came in and started doing his own thing. And we're like, let's just do that. And it worked. And that really just blew up on TikTok. And so from there, Dean DeLeo of STP saw our videos. And
thought it was
the funniest thing. Got in touch with us, liked our music, and talked to management. And together with our management companies, you know, we got together. Yeah, and we set up some shows together.
And we just saw, it was hilarious. So we saw just one day, it was like, oh my God, Stone Temple Pilots followed us.
I was blown away.
But like not one of the members, just their band Instagram page.
That's crazy.
Like 10 other people. It's like, wow, that's pretty insane. And then so Dean started reaching out to us and calling Will often. And basically we talked about maybe opening for them with him, and eventually we got some shows, and now we're pretty close with those guys.
Yeah, they're the coolest guys, so down to earth, like really, like just the nicest guys. Like it's incredible. You know, you think the stereotype of rock stars is, you know, that they're just full of themselves, and they're just the most down to earth, coolest guys I've ever met. Those guys, and so grateful for them to, you know, give us that opportunity.
That's amazing. Whose grandpa is it? Yours, Will, or Logan?
It's ours. No, really my grandpa.
Some people think they're twins.
That's funny. Yeah, I didn't know maybe Logan, because you have the comedic family. Maybe he was, because he's very outgoing. I mean, he's like juggling in a video. Like,
he's a kind of family too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I guess, yeah.
It's funny. You wouldn't expect. He's a PhD in psychology. You'd never know. Like, he teaches at Columbia once a week. He's this crazy old man.
And some people comment on TikTok, right? They're like, is that Professor G?
Yeah.
Oh, like they know who he is? Like they take his class or something? That's crazy. Yeah. That's so funny. Did he come out on stage with you guys, or was just he's just a TikTok character?
Yes, we did a tour. With the Bronx and Drug Show.
The Bronx, yeah.
Yeah, and it's our final show. It wasn't with them, but our last show of our little tour, you know, with them, and then we came back to New Haven and did a show at Schubert Theater, which is a pretty well known theater in New Haven. It was an honor just to play there, because as a kid I saw so many cool shows there, and he came on stage for us for that one in New Haven, that final show,
for a song.
He's
not really
that's rad,
but he's a part of the aesthetic in some ways.
Sure,
he's a little like mascot.
Yeah,
that's amazing. So the album is done. The album isn't out yet though, is it? Just the one, a couple songs.
Oh, it's out.
Oh, it is out.
Only eight tracks. It's more of an EP.
On vinyl.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that, I was confused. I was thinking it's eight tracks, but it is an album. That's rather you do it on vinyl too.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you just did that tour with the Bronx, and you're back home, and then you're doing another festival, right? Coming up.
Yeah. We're doing the Shiprocked Cruise Festival. It's going to be sick in January. It's a great lineup of artists. We've got Suicidal Tendencies, Grandson, a lot of other cool artists, and it's gonna like 3,000 people on a cruise going through the Bahamas. So that's going to be our first technical festival lineup, I guess you could say. So we're super pumped for that.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That is amazing. Yeah. And I appreciate you both doing this. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for talking.
Yeah, I have one more question. Actually, two. Is that a landline behind you?
Yeah.
Like, there's like a phone.
Yeah, this is on my basement, actually. It's a little studio. It's an unfinished basement, but it's like I've sort of made it into a little bit of a rehearsal space.
That's awesome that you still have a landline. I will have to say that, because nowadays I feel like, I mean, I've got two kids that will never understand what that is behind you. It's like the emoji of the phone on the hook, and it's like so irrelevant to anyone that's not old. But that's awesome that you have that back there. Anyway, so my last question is, if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
I definitely do. My biggest piece of advice for aspiring artists is to be yourself, and no matter what people say to you or try to tell you, just be authentic and don't try to conform to what you think is cool or trendy. Because I think that the best art really is honest and authentic. And there's a lot of people just trying to follow trends right now and go along with what's cool because they think it works. But I think that young artists should be 100% unapologetically themselves, whatever that means. And secondly, keep going, don't give up, and don't listen to anybody except for themselves and what they truly feel deep down in their heart.
I love that. What about you, Will? Do you have any advice?
Definitely. I definitely agree with what everything Logan's saying. My advice would be stay as open as you can. I think in many ways, I've learned that from a lot of people who I really admire. And it's in many ways why they're so successful. Like, stay open to relationships with people, stay open to knowledge, stay open to experiences, stay open to all these things, because you don't know what could come from anything by keeping your options open and being as open as you can. And, you know, life is in art itself, you know, the phrase, good artists borrow, best artists steal. Mm-hmm. That's because people are staying open, and, you know, with all the different music that you know and knowledge, it can only help you. You know, knowledge can never hurt, I don't think. And so being as open as you can to ideas, knowledge, relationships with people. You know, like when Logan got in touch with me, when he first got in touch with me, I was already in my 20s and Logan was a teenager and still in high school, and I could have been like, you know, I don't want to play with this kid. What, he's so much younger than me. I should be, you know, playing with those older cats or something. But I'm sure. I was thinking that. I was sort of thinking like, why? And I say, well, let me give it a shot. Let me try to be open here. And I'm glad I did. And so I definitely learned from that experience. And I see that with, for example, Jakir. He's very open to. I see that with Jakir, and that's in many ways why he's, I think, so successful. I see him being open to relationships. Like, we were nobodies. We were just these idiots throwing up videos on social media, and he was open to working with us. And so I really admired that he did that, and I'm thankful that he did that. And so I really learned from that as well. So open to many different areas and aspects, if that makes sense.
No, totally. And I appreciate the both of you doing this. Thank you so much, and enjoy that cruise.